The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, you know, I've been involved in Buddhist practice for teachings for my adult life for a very long time. And one of the conclusions that I've come to is that in an understated way, so maybe it's not always noticed, that Buddhism or the Buddha has a very positive view of human beings and their potential. And but you know, there's not a celebrating of it, because maybe that's too easy to reinforce our attachments to self. And sometimes this emphasis on non-attachment, and sometimes this teaching on not self, is interpreted maybe or seen through the lens of other cultural views that somehow we're not supposed to count or we're bad or something like that. But the view is very positive, that there's a very positive orientation towards people's potential and their value and their importance. And so to offer teachings that the Buddha gave, because the only reason he would give those teachings is he cared for people and cared for their potential. I love this particular teaching he gave, where he uses an analogy of a forester who goes into the forest to work and discovers traces of an ancient road in the forest, and then he goes and finds some ancient city that's been long buried, and then he comes out and he tells the king and queen of the realm about what his discovery was, and they come and clear the ancient road and just clear the ancient capital, and everyone lives there happily ever after. But this idea that the Buddha didn't invent his teaching, he discovered a path, that this ancient path that's kind of overgrown, that we all have overgrown in ourselves. But in this analogy, this metaphor, when he comes to tell the king and queen of the realm about it, the king and queen is an analogy for us. We're the king and queen of our realm. It's a very positive view that we're important, we're valuable, it's not stated. There's a reluctance to make any kind of fixed view ideas of who we are in this tradition. But the idea is more like we're a gardener than we are an engineer in this practice. We're not, you know, screwing together all these pieces to build some great sense of self. But rather, we are like a gardener. We try to clear the space in the garden for all the things that get in the way of the flowers to grow. And then we nourish the garden and make space for it and support it to grow and support it to be in the sunlight. And something can grow that we can't engineer. And so there's something in us that's very positive and wonderful, a seed, a potential, that if we create the conditions for it, it can grow into something really beautiful. And one of the actual words of what it can grow into is a fruit. The classic idea of becoming fully mature in this practice is to bring something to fruition. And so certainly there are bad seeds that can grow in your garden. Every once in a while, even though we live in Redwood City, we have a little outbreak of poison oak in our garden. And my wife is the gardener at home, is very allergic to poison oak. So that's always a danger, that we have something poisonous in us. And a toxic anger, hatred is toxic for self and others. And so we have to keep it clear. There are things to take care of and weed out. But we weed out these things because there is wonderful, valuable, beautiful seeds inside that can grow and flower as well. And then how we weed things out. Sometimes we don't weed anything out, but rather we make room for what's there to become clear. And when things are clear, then the things that are not useful will stop being fed. And those which are useful will be fed. And so Buddha also taught in his ancient teaching, for some reason there was a lot of emphasis on nutriments, the food. What is the food that you're taking in and feeding yourself with? And if there's a lot of junk food, it might not be so good for you. But if there's healthy food to take in, healthy things to feed. And so the sum total of this is that that I see is that there's a very positive view of who we are. We're not first and foremost sinners. We're not first and foremost inherently wrong or inherently bad or some. But rather, we're being seen in Buddhism not for being wrong, but we're seen for something that has a wonderful capacity and wonderful potential and wonderful. Just a certain kind of wonderfulness of who we are and what's possible and where we can go. And anything, Buddhism is an antidote then to any kind of idea that we've inherited from our family, our culture, our life experience, that something about us is wrong. And to be replaced with something about us is right. That we can trust and value and treasure about ourselves, and that's a wonderful way to go through the world. Something is right, something is good, and you know, when the people who are most mature in this early Buddhist tradition that I teach from mostly, you know, are called the noble ones. So, I mean, that's a pretty, that's a kind of a positive orientation about how someone can be, their nobility, their dignity, they're valuable people. So I offer that to you today so that you could reflect a little bit about your own self-view. How do you see yourself? What have you inherited from whatever in your life about how you think of yourself? And might there be a way in which you can see yourself in a more positive way, in such a positive way that you feel like, yes, there is something to make space for in here. There is something to attend to be mindful for, and that in being mindful, in developing the ability to have an awareness of what's happening here and now, we are tending our garden so that the good seeds that we have can come to fruition. So those are my thoughts. Maybe it came out a little bit from all the meetings I had today. They were all a delight. It seems like I talked to six people who all seemed to be flowering and fruiting in their own wonderful way. It was just a delight to have these meetings. Thank you. So we have a few minutes, and if any of you would like to ask a question or comment, testimonial about your own flowering, I'm happy to hear what you have to say now. Kevin.
I really like the flowering and gardening analogy, and it's been very, very nice to be able to practice here and with everyone. And something that's been really enjoyable is watching the flowering. You know, you mentioned the trees are very nice, so they look very nice, and it's nice to see that. So, yeah, thank you.
Great, thank you.
Oh, and one last thing is, I appreciate what you said about everyone's flower. It's nice to appreciate everyone's different flowers. Thanks.
Turn up the volume a little bit.
You sort of touched on this, but I was wondering, how does understanding oneself, that seems very important, how does that relate to the concept of not self?
I think that we have to take each of these expressions in context. So the expression, know yourself, is a very broad, non-specific pointing to really understand our beliefs, our thoughts, our feelings, our history, understanding the whole unique package of who we are and our conditioning. And it's just kind of a broad thing. When the context we're saying that, talking about not self, has to do, then the word self refers to no fixed self, no fixed identity. So the first one was really know what's operating here for you. The second one is there's no fixed identity for who you are, partly because of the first one. There's so much to so much here, it's always shifting and changing. Does that clarify for you?
Yes, thank you.
Great, thank you. So one more, and then we'll stop.
Thanks. Along with the flowering theme, the reflections that you've done at 7 a.m., I think have really helped my flowering, the autonomy, the dignity, all those reflections are really noble thoughts to aid in unfolding. So, thank you.
Well, I would say that my words are just ideas. What you're if it resonates, if those words are resonating something in you, then that's where it's found.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you. So we'll do our cleaning time, mindful cleaning.